I warned you, you were ready. You were ready, church. I'm excited. If we haven't met, my name's Michael. I have the honor of being one of the pastors here at Riverside. And today we're kicking off a brand new series called Mixtape. And man, several months ago in September, I was preaching what was seemed like a typical Sunday morning. I got off the platform. I went to go grab my phone, and my phone had blown up. There were notifications. I don't know about you, when you grab your phone and you see lots of texts, lots of DMs, I first think, what has happened to my kids and who died? Like, that's initially where my mind went. And as I sat down in the front row and I started to go through it, I had so many people that reached out to me. They said, Michael, Usher's doing the Super Bowl halftime show. You know me so, so well. See, it's well documented, my love for all things Usher. And let me just tell you, over the next 7 weeks, if you are very religious, you're going to have to unclench your butt cheeks right now. Because I already see some of you, you got that fart face on, and you're like, he ain't going to preach anything through Usher titles, yo. I'm telling you, I got a bond with Usher, yo. I go way back. You Make Me Wanna, when I was in college, a student taught at a school called Ting Primary School in the South Side. And every time where we'd have a good day, we got to listen to Usher's 8701 album. I'm the whitest guy in the middle of Ting Primary School, yo. Rach and I got married 20 years ago, and in 2004, a little duet called My Boo came out, and I would just sing to her in the car, My Boo, yo. People know, like, I don't dance. I don't really love receptions. But some of y'all have invited me to your weddings, and you do it on purpose. You know that the only way to get me on the dance floor is when you play Yeah. You know I'm going to be sitting there just eating a piece of chicken until that song comes on. You know it, Riley. You know it. See, you need to know that if you're here for the first time, we're kind of an unconventional church. I'm an unconventional preacher, and sometimes we're going to use unconventional ways to preach the gospel. And over the next 7 weeks, we're going to take some things that maybe you think we should never talk about in church and try to give you a way to learn what the gospel says about all things relationships. See, today on the first week, we're going to talk to the singles of the house. Let me hear you if you're single and ready to... Oh. Okay, you're my people. I'm going to preach right to y'all. But today we're going to talk about how do I find love? And as the weeks continue to go, it's finding, it's falling, forwarding, it's feeding, financing. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about fading marriages. And then we're going to talk about marriages that have finished. See, in that final week, I want to talk to people that are dealing with the pain of the loss of a relationship through either death or divorce. And I really feel like these are going to be life-changing 7 weeks. And some of you right now are like, already I am not single. Why did I even come this week? But I believe if you can lean in and listen up, God wants to speak to you today as well. See, because what we're going to share from God's word isn't just for people who are in a season of singleness. I believe that God has been speaking to me through every single week as I prepare for the next 7 weeks of this series. I believe it's going to be life-changing. So without further ado, today I want to preach to you on week one, track one, love in this club. Love in this. Some of you aren't even going to write it down in your journal because you're too Christian today. Write it down. Love in this club. See, what I found is, even when people have found out what the series is going to be about, there's been a little bit of a pushback to it. Michael, why are you doing 7 weeks on relationships? Because, see, I grew up in a church for the first 2 decades of my life that a pastor talked to me about how to love one another and how to forgive your enemies, but I never heard a message preached from a platform that had to do with relationships. So in a season of singleness, in a season of dating, in a season of marriage, can I tell you, I've made so many mistakes in my life because I didn't know the direction. I didn't know what God's word had to say about all things relationships. And I need to be honest with you because today as the global church, we don't do a great job with singles in church. You need to know that about 46% of the U.S. population are singled, are unmarried people. But why do we not hear messages preached on a Sunday morning? I think it's because 96% of pastors are married. We preach what we know. We preach who we are. And today, I want to just lean in and talk to some people today. Today, I want to lean in and share a message that I wish somebody would have told me when I was in a season of singleness. Can I tell you, number one, the first thing I wish somebody would have told me, being single does not mean you're inadequate, incomplete, or insufficient. No, I need you to get that today. You are not inadequate. You are not incomplete. You are not insufficient because you don't have somebody next to you today. See, I think we've done a great disservice to the single population. They make up 46% of America today, but they only make up 23% of churches today. Half of our singles want nothing to do with the church. There's a whole host of reasons for that. But a lot of them come into a gathering like this on a weekend and say, I don't relate to anybody. I feel like I'm just doing life by myself. And today you need to know that God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life, just like he has for me as a married man of almost 20 years. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. See, that's the first thing you need to know. But number two, can I be honest with you? You will not find love in the club. You won't. How do I know? Because I did it, yo. I did it, see? I spent it baffles me that I'm spending a Sunday morning preaching to you because on Saturday nights, I used to be about a block away. Okay, you're my people, I hear you. On Saturday nights, I used to hang out downtown and I would tell you that time of my life before I met Rach, I was so desperate. I was so desperate to meet somebody, to know someone, to feel something. And so I'd put myself in environments. And I'd love to tell you that I left on those Saturday nights feeling better about myself. But my desperation always just led to more disappointment. See, I think we try to find things in places and other people that only God can give us. I think we look for things that we can only find in our relationship with God. See, so many of us have New Year's resolutions. Anybody make a New Year's resolution this year? Four of you. Okay, thank you. They tell us that by this time of the year, that 43% of New Year's resolutions, we've already quit on them. We've already ended them by the time we hit February. And I think some of the problems that we make sometimes is we say, I'm going to start something or I'm going to stop something. I'm going to start going to the gym or I'm going to stop smoking. And really, I think where resolutions break down, I think it's really a combination of starting and stopping. See, if you say that I'm going to start going to the gym, you better stop eating crap. It's not going to work out the way that you think. If you say, I'm going to start saving money, you better stop buying things that you don't need. If you say, I'm going to start doing better in school, you better stop forgetting to turn in your homework. That's a word for somebody in our family today. I was with a dear friend just this week, and she was saying, you know, I had plans to go on this trip, but the Holy Spirit started to speak to me that it wasn't the best environment. It wasn't the best people to be around. And she was telling me that, I thought, man, if you want to start to have healthy relationships, you better stop being around unhealthy people. See, some of you right now, you're desperate for a relationship, but you need to stop hanging around unhealthy people, unhealthy places. See, I think for so many of us, it's not about asking, how do I find the right person? I think we first have to ask ourselves, how do I become the right person? Because chances are the person that you're looking for is looking for the same things that you're looking for. See, there are some of us that we have to look at, what are things I need to start and what are things I need to stop? Maybe for some of us, we need to start living within a budget. Maybe some of us have to start looking for a job. Maybe some of us need to start dealing with our daddy issues. Maybe some of us have to stop being disrespectful to people. Maybe some of us need to stop getting so worked up when things don't go our way. We have to deal with our anger issues. Maybe some of us need to stop living in our mama's basement. I offended you 7 minutes into it. That's a word from the Lord, yo. See, I think so many times it's not about where, but what. It's not about where you find somebody in a season of singleness, but what you find in a season of singleness. See, today I wanna share with you three things that if you are single today, three things that you should be looking for, not in someone else first, but three things that you should be finding in yourself through the help of the Holy Spirit. See, number one, my prayer is that you find your confidence. You've gotta find confidence in this season. See, I think one of the greatest runs of box office hits was in the 1990s with Julia Roberts. She had a whole host of romantic comedies that blew up the box office, starting in 1990 with Pretty Woman. In 1995, there was a movie called Something to Talk About. 1997, My Best Friend's Wedding. 1999, back-to-back, Notting Hill and Runaway Bride. That is a great track record. And I recently, Michael, what do you do on the weekends? I watch romantic comedies. And I recently went back and I watched Runaway Bride. It happened to be on TV. And if you're unfamiliar with it, Julia Roberts leaves a series of men at the altar. Anytime they get close to the wedding, she just gets on a horse and off she goes. And Richard Gere, he's a journalist, and he finds out about it, and he starts to write a story on this runaway bride, and he goes and he goes to all the jilted ex-lovers and says, you know, what happened? Tell me a little bit about it. And he always asks them a fairly unusual question. He says, how did she like her eggs? And every single time, the man will say, scrambled, just like me. Poached, just like me. Egg whites only, just like me. And there's a confrontation that happens near the end of the movie, and Richard Gere says to Julia Roberts, hey, what is going on with you and all these guys? You just like the eggs that they like. And she said, no, it's called changing your mind. To which he responds, no, it's not having your mind in the first place. Not knowing what you like, not knowing how you want to proceed through life. See, I see it all the time in relationships. I think we get into brand new relationships and we go ahead and we put all of our wants, all of our needs on the sidelines. We put all of our desires, and now we find and we just start to do whatever the other person wants. We lose ourselves in the midst of relationships. You ever been around somebody who used to be such a homebody and now they're all into mountain biking? Who are you just because your boyfriend now likes to mountain bike? Your boy that used to show up on Sunday nights for basketball and you haven't seen him in 4 weeks and like, bro, where have you been? Oh, we got 3 episodes of Grey's Anatomy to catch up on. And you're like, who are you? I had a friend in high school. We grew up all the way through school together. She started dating one of the guys on the basketball team, and she showed up one day, about a week after they were dating, wearing a Nirvana t-shirt. Girl hadn't listened to Nirvana once in her life. And I go, what are you doing? She goes, I like this band. Name 5 songs. If you can't name 5 songs, you shouldn't be wearing the band tee. That's a word for y'all. Was around somebody the other day. They were wearing a Fugees shirt. I go, you love the Fugees? They're like, no, I just love the shirt. Take that off, Lauryn Hill. See, we lose ourselves in the midst over and over. We put aside our passions. We put aside our pleasures and our preferences for someone else. See, in our culture, singles are defined by what they're not rather than by what they are. They're unmarried. They're not wed. And if you're not strong enough, if you're not confident in who God has created you, it will have a debilitating effect. How do I know? Because I lived in that space for so many years of my life. I'm not married, so I'm not loved. I'm not loved because I'm not seen. I'm not seen, so I'm not desirable, and I'm not desirable, so I must not be enough. If we're not careful, we will forget what God says about us. We will forget what God says to each and every one of us. And God talks about a lot of different topics throughout the Bible, but never will you find God say or even imply that singles are any kind of second-class citizens. No, you need to know that the message of the gospel is inclusive. The message of the gospel is for each and every one of us. Can I remind you today some of the promises of God? Can I remind you today what God says about you? Psalm 139, 13, and 14. We sang it this morning. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Romans 8:38. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Can I remind you, you are created with purpose. No matter where you find yourself today, you are created with purpose. You are loved by an almighty God. You may see yourself as a mistake. You may see yourself as a mess, but where you see a mistake, where you see a mess, God says, you are my masterpiece. I love you no matter what you're walking through right now. See, can I tell some of you today, don't run from a season of singleness. Rest in a season of singleness, knowing that God has got you tightly by the hand. He's not going to let you go. He's got you right where he needs you. See, I made the mistake as I was working on this message. Rachel and I got back from Miami on Wednesday, and my kids all started to complain. It's nothing like, hey, getting back home, mom and dad, we're so glad you're home. And then they turn around and complain the next second because we have nothing in our refrigerator. We hadn't gone grocery shopping. And so I was like, I'll go grocery shopping. And what do they always tell you? Don't go grocery shopping when you are
hungry.
Thank you, thank you. Where were you on Thursday? And so I'm going and getting all the staples that we need, and I start to go up and down the aisles, and I just start throwing some random stuff that sounds pretty good in the moment. And later on that day, my youngest son, he came home from school, and he's going through the cabinets, and he's like, who bought this? And I was like, well, Ben, at some point earlier today, a package of lemon pepper tuna sounded good. See, we don't make decisions, good decisions, when we're hungry. And I think some of us right now, when it comes to relationships, we're really hungry for relationships. We're really empty right now. We wish we had someone in our lives. And when we get to those low points, low relational times, can I tell you, we will make some really bad decisions. See, because when you are hungry, you will eat anything. When you are hungry, you will lower your standards. When you are hungry, you will put things in your mouth that you wouldn't normally put in your mouth. Jasmine, don't explain it to her. You can tell her later. When we are hungry, we will lower our standards. And when we are hungry, we will do things in the moment that we will regret later. See, when we're hungry, when we're missing things in our lives, we will engage in more and we will settle for less. When we're in a season where we're hungry relationally, we will engage in more and we will settle for less. If you lived in my house, you would know that one of the mottos of our home is don't settle. Don't settle. It started when my oldest son was 12 years old, and he's a guy that if you ever give him money, that will burn a hole in his pocket. He got some money for Christmas when he was 12 years old. The next day, we went to the mall, and that dude, the first store he went into, he wanted to spend all his money on this one thing. And what did I say? This mall's really big. There's more places we're going to go. Liam, don't settle. See, I believe that's a word for some of you today because you're starting to lay your expectations down and you're starting to settle relationally. The things that were once important to you are no longer important because now I'm 23, 25, 31, 54. When's my person going to come? Can I tell you, if God has given you the desire for a relationship, He will make it happen in His timing. Don't settle. Don't settle. See, there's too many of us that are going through life over and over again settling. See, you go back to the very beginning of the universe. We see that God is in this incredible story of creation. You go to day six and it says in Genesis chapter one, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Now you need to be reminded that in this moment, Adam is still a single man. Eve is not on the radar yet. But what do we see? I think there's two things right from the jump at the start of the creation that we see. Is that we see, number one, that God gave Adam an identity. God said, you are created in the image of God. God gave him an identity. And no matter who you are today, if you are trying to find your identity in anything other than your heavenly Father, you will continue to be hungry. You will continue to fall. You will continue to make mistakes. Too many of us, we find our identity in our career. We find our identity in our finances, our accomplishments, and all of those things are fleeting. What happens when we build our life, our identity around them, you start to live a life of idolatry. What starts to happen is that now we say, my career, my finances, all the things that I'm accomplishing in my life, those things are more important than you, God. And I try to make it happen on my own. See, Adam, he knew where his identity was found in. He was a child of God. He was created by God. See, when you read about idolatry in the Bible, can I tell you there are consequences? We see that people are destroyed. There's disease, there's death. It even says at times God abandons them because of their idolatry. Can I tell you, I don't want God to leave me. I want God to lead me. I want to be pursuing Jesus at a deeper level today than I was last week. I want to have 2024 to be a breakthrough year in my life than it was last year. I want to pursue Jesus like never before. I want to find my worth, my identity only in Him. See, but the second thing we see as you continue to read in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. See, we see that God gave Adam an identity, but then also the second thing we see here is that God gave Adam an instruction. God gave Adam an instruction. He said, take care of the garden. He later goes on to say, hey, I want you to name the animals. You got an issue with the name of an animal? Talk to Adam about it. It's his fault, yo. And so what did he say? He gave him an instruction. See, the thing I love about this is that God gave him a calling before he gave him a companion. God gave him a calling before he gave him a companion. See, some of you right now don't even realize that you're in a season of development. You're in a season of preparation. That if God gave you the right person today, you wouldn't even be ready for it. It would blow up in your face. God has given you a calling. Lean into the purpose and the call of God that is over your life. See the thing that happens as you continue to read Genesis chapter 2. People are leaving. We love you. Come back another week. See, the thing I love about this story is that nowhere do we see Adam searching for a mate, searching for a companion. Do you know when Eve came on the scene? When Adam was sleeping. Adam wasn't looking. Adam wasn't roaming around. Where are you? Where's the perfect person? He was resting. See, some of you right now, you need to quit roaming around this planet looking for the person and start relaxing in the arms of Jesus, knowing that he's got the perfect person just waiting for you. When you continue to work on all the stuff he's revealing, you lean in, you pursue him like no other, God will bring the perfect person to you in due season at just the right time. See, if we're not careful, we'll get so focused on the person that we will forget our purpose. We'll get so worried about the season. We'll get so worried about, God, who is the right person for me? And Jesus actually speaks about this. Jesus talks about worry in Matthew chapter 6, and he says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. See, you're in a season right now where you need to find confidence in your life. Jesus outlines it. He says, seek me and live righteously. Right now, that's where you need some direction. I love when people come up to me, Pastor, I need a word from the Lord. Get in the word. Get in the word. You're waiting for a prophetic word over your life. I'm not diminishing those things, but God can speak to you every single day. If you just started to open up your Bible, spend time in prayer, God says, are you in a season of waiting right now? Seek me and live righteously. That's it. That's the charge. I don't care if you're single or you've been married for 55 years. Our charge today is to seek God and live righteously. See, in this season that we're walking through right now, it's going to require you finding your confidence. But secondly, it's going to require you finding contentment. You've got to be content with the season that you're in right now. See, one of the greatest examples in the Bible of contentment is Paul. Paul, you need to know, was under house arrest for 2 years in Rome from about AD 59 to AD 61. And during this time, he goes on to write what are referred to as the four prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Those are books that he wrote, letters that he wrote to believers, to churches all around the area. It was in that season that he was arrested on some seemingly insignificant charges. He was kept away from his friends. He was not able to travel like he once wanted to proclaim the gospel. But listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 4. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Do you think that's a Steph Curry line? That's actually Paul's line, yo. See, I want to challenge you this week to read the book of Philippians. It's four chapters. It's incredible. It's so rich. But as you read the book of Philippians this week, you're going to see what Paul says. You see phrases like, rejoice in the Lord. I thank God, the God of peace. Even in the midst of his arrest, even in the midst of his imprisonment, he still had contentment. See, I think so many of us, when we're in a season of discontent, what do? I think so many of us, when I look at my life, I start to compare my life with other people. If you've been on, I got to take a break from social media sometimes because I see what other people are doing and where other people are going and the new car that they got and the house that I'd like to have. And then I look around mine, and I'm like, oh crap, this is all I got. We start to compare ourselves and we become discontent. I think I not only compare, but I also covet. I know that's a word we don't like to use. I know pastors aren't really open with that, but have you ever looked at something and you're like, I wish I had that? Some of you did it last weekend. We were in Miami on Sunday. Rach posted a picture, and some of you are coveting. I wish I was on a beach in Miami, Florida. Instead, I'm here serving the Lord. I think we compare, we covet, and we complain. Do you ever complain to God? Like, God, why did you allow that person the blessing? And I've been praying for so long, and I'm still stuck here. I think if we're really honest, we all sometimes go through that right now when we're in a season of discontentment and we just go deeper and deeper into the hole. But one of the things that you're gonna see when you read about the life of Paul, when you read about his imprisonment, what did he do instead? He said, I'm content no matter. I could stay here another 2 years. I'm gonna be content what God is doing, because what you see is that Paul started to worship. Can you imagine being in chains, being locked up for something that is a trivial crime? And what does he do? He keeps worshiping. Can I tell you? You know how mature you are in the faith when you don't worship just when things are going well. You worship when things are really, really hard. See, can I tell you? When I worship, you can watch me next week. Watch me. Some of y'all won't be back next week. It's okay. It's all right. But watch me when I worship. My times of greatest worship are probably the times when I'm going through it the most. Because that's when I am. Because when things are going well, thank you, Jesus, I worship you, da-da-da-da-da, whatever. But the times where all hell is breaking out in my life, I need a touch from God in that moment. My hands can't even get any higher. God, unless you intervene in my life, my family, my situation right now, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. See, we need to get to the place where we're worshiping. What's the other thing Paul was doing? Paul, even in the midst of being arrested, he continued to witness. That's a really church word, but what does witness mean? He was telling people about Jesus. See, they thought that when you arrest Paul, the good news of Jesus Christ was gonna stop. He can't travel, he can't tell people about Jesus. But what did Paul do? Paul's like, I'm chained to these guards 24/7. And if I'm gonna be chained to them, guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna tell them about Jesus. I'm gonna worship, I'm gonna pray. And you read about it, that people found life in Jesus because they were stuck next to Paul 24/7 over the next 24 months. What if we started to worship? What if we started to witness in the midst of it? And what if we started to wait on God? Oh, man, when we get to seasons that are overwhelming, we wanna just move forward. We want to just continue to move forward. God, I just want to move on. I feel like I'm stuck here. What if we just continued to wait? That we continued to wait for the right person for God to come into your life. See, because there's a lot of wrong people that can come just like that into your life. It takes patience to wait. Takes patience to wait. See, if you're a single today in a season of waiting, this is not your destiny. This is just a delay. If God has given you that desire for a partner, for a mate, for a relationship, for a marriage, this is not your destination. It is just a delay where God wants to do something new in you so God can do something new through you. Just keep waiting. Just keep trusting his timing again and again and again. Paul said it, for I have learned how to be content. See, Paul learned. We are not born with contentment. Have you realized that? We are not born with contentment. You think I'm wrong with that? Hang out with a baby, an infant, a toddler. They're never content. They always want more food. They always want more toys. They always want more attention. We have to pray. We've got to learn to be content with wherever God has taken us, where we are right now. See, the enemy loves nothing more than to come and tell you how discontent you are in a season. See, that's his MO. Eve comes onto the scene, and what does the enemy do? What does the snake do? He slithers in and says, hey, Eve, I know you've got hundreds of trees in the garden that you can eat from, but what about that one? How about you just go eat a bite from that tree? And I think we fall prey to the same thing. God has blessed us with so much, but the enemy loves to come in and say, I know you got all this, but the one thing that you're missing, do your own thing. Turn away from God. It's going to be okay. Do not allow the enemy to come in and start to lie in a season of discontentment. See, singles, can I tell you, don't wish this season away. See it as developmental. See it as transformative. See this season as a time for God to work on you. Allow him to speak to you, because see what I've learned from firsthand experience, what you don't deal with in one season will destroy you in the next season. See, what are the things in your life right now that you need to deal with? You need to hand over to God. You need to get a godly mentor. You need to go to counseling. You need to find freedom from, because what you don't deal with in one season will destroy you in the next season. I want you to be healthy. I want you to have a healthy relationship. I want you to come into that man or woman that God is going to bring into your life, and I want you to be able to steward it well. It's really easy to rush into marriage. It's not so easy to sustain marriage. See, in Proverbs, what does it say? Proverbs 21:9. It's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. Verse 19, I'm coming after you in just a minute. Verse 19, it's better to live alone in the desert than with a quarrelsome, complaining wife. Now you need to know this is from a guy's perspective. This is written by Solomon. I think these verses will look a little bit different if they were written by Ruth. I think we'll look a little bit different, but I don't think, because some of you guys, I heard you hooting and hollering. Some of you were like elbowing your significant other neck. Don't do it. Because I think these just as easily could have been written about men. It's better to live alone in an attic than with a lazy husband. It's better to live alone in a desert than with an angry and offended husband. See, I think so many times, see, you need to know that it's better to rest in singleness than to rush into marriage. If you don't know that you know that you know that this is the person for you, I want to preview next week. Week two, I'm going to be talking about the biblical things that we see in Scripture that we should be looking for in a partner. Five things I'm going to outline next week from the Old Testament that we should be looking for. And for some of us that are already in relationships, it's for us to look inside and see, what am I not? What do I need to work on? If you're planning on showing up next week and you're like, oh, this will be really good for my 17-year-old son. No, sis, it's really good for your 53-year-old butt too. Michael, get back on track. 1 Corinthians 7:7, but I wish everyone were single just as I am, yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. Spoiler alert, Paul was single. Paul was single and Paul was content. Paul was single and Paul was content. Paul didn't see singleness as a curse. He actually said he sees it as a gift. See, too many times, too many years when I was a single, I spent time enduring it rather than enjoying it. I spent so many years just looking around and, oh my gosh, another day, I just have to go. Can I tell you, one of the greatest gifts that you have in a season of singleness is freedom. Y'all can do whatever you want. When you're married, not so much. 2 weeks ago, I never just lay around. 2 weeks ago, I got hooked on a reality TV show called The Traitors. I don't know if you've ever seen The Traitors. Okay. The Traitors. I binge watched all, and I started to talk like the guy, the host on it. He's like, are you a faithful or are you a traitor? And I was like walking around the house for 2 days, and Rachel's like, I need you to stop that crap right now. And I binge watched it. First season of the US one, then I watched the complete series of the Australian one, and I watched the complete season of the UK one. For like 18 hours, I am just feet up laying on the couch. And I got so hardcore judged by all four members of my family. They're like, you still watching this? Don't you have anything better to do with your time? Don't you? When you're single, you can watch whatever you want. You can eat whatever you want. If you want to eat some Sour Patch Kids for dinner, do it. Nobody's there to judge you. You can take as many showers as you want. Nobody's there yelling, you're using up all the hot water. Do whatever you want. I don't miss my single days, but sometimes. See, I think we get so so focused on the next that we miss the now. We get so focused on what's coming that we miss the now. See, Paul was single, but Paul was content. Paul was unmarried, but Paul was unstoppable. Paul is this incredible story where he comes from persecuting Christians to preaching the gospel. He's a man that wrote the vast majority of the New Testament. He goes on 4 different missionary journeys. He pursues God like never before. There was a call. There was a purpose to his life. And can I tell you today, just like Paul, there is a call. There is a purpose over your life as well, no matter the season that you find yourself in. See, what do I need to find in this season? I pray that you find your confidence. I pray that you find your contentment. But finally, I pray that you find your connection with Jesus like no other. See, in a season of singleness, you need to be connected like never before. Colossians 2, 6, and 7 says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness." Can I tell you the greatest thing I could tell you to do? Get connected to God. Get rooted in his word. It says, then you will overcome with truth. You will overflow with thankfulness. See, I'm not standing up here saying, I'm so far removed from when I was single. I remember the pain. I remember the trauma that went into some of those relationships. I remember the hardships that when relationships ended, man, it took me out. But now I look back on those seasons that when those relationships ended, what I thought was a setback, it was actually for my safety. Because God had someone else waiting for me. There was a young girl named Rachel King that I hadn't even met during that time. But God knew that years down the road, there was going to be the perfect person waiting for me. The perfect person. And he said, I need you to work on some of your stuff right now. I need you to get rooted. I need you to get connected to me. I need you to live a life of righteousness. See, if you're single in this place today, get around other like-minded believers. Get around other singles who are not just looking for a romantic relationship. They're looking to deepen their spiritual relationship. Keep showing up to church. Let us help you find a connect group. Go to Mary Palmer's in-house Bible study. There's no greater place to be. See, we're already in February, but we're looking ahead to March. I'm excited for March, the spring round of midweek classes on Wednesday nights. The very first Friday of March for all the ladies in the house, Bloom Not In, downstairs in the lower level. Get around other women, get connected. We're gonna be back 2 weeks after that on February 15th. That was our second annual trivia night, yo. We're ready, we're coming back, put in your calendar. 2 weeks after that on the 29th is Good Friday, leading us right into Easter Sunday. We're gonna give you opportunities to get connected. And you know what people say to me all the time is like, Mike, I love to get involved in some of those things, but I'm too busy. You ain't busier than Ella Richardson. You ain't busier than my 18-year-old daughter going to school full-time, working full-time. But can I tell you, she still shows up every single Sunday. She's gonna be here in the 11 o'clock service. Still serves this house. She still gets to a place where she has a connect group that she goes to on Tuesday nights. She's part of a campus ministry on Thursday nights. She does life with people that are just encouraging one another in their season of singleness. See, right now, you gotta get around the right people. The right people will always take you to the right places. See, how do I know? I'm not just speaking as, hey, this is good for you. It's what I had to walk through. I went on a date on a Wednesday night when I was in college. Worst date of my life. I came home and I was just like, I guess I'm gonna be single all my life. I'm just gonna be one of those old dudes that sits in Panera. And the night before I went to bed, I just, God, I have this desire for a relationship. I have a desire to be married. And God, if that's If that's not of you, I wanna hand it over. I wanna submit that to you. I wanna be submitted in my singleness. And I kid you not, I don't have time to go into all the things, but two nights later, I was around some like-minded Christians that were here at Riverside and some friends that were in a similar season said, hey, we're getting together, we're having a birthday party for somebody. Would you come to Agatushi's? And I said, I'll come to Agatushi's. I like pizza. You buying? Okay. And I went and I sat down and there was a seat next to me. And this girl that I'd met one time, she wasn't very nice to me the first time that we met. I saw her walk in with her friend and I was like, oh God, please no, please no, please. Just wanna eat some pepperoni pizza in peace. And this girl sat down next to me and it was awkward at first, but we struck up a conversation. And then we went to a movie after that and we happened to sit by each other at this movie and things just progressed over and over and over. And I think back to that moment. I think what would have happened if I would have rushed into a relationship that wasn't of God. I can tell you with 100% accuracy, I would not be standing in front of you today. I can tell you. If I would continue to pursue a relationship who was not with the person that God had designed for me, I would not be standing here today. My life would have looked a whole lot different. See, today I pray that we're men and women of God that don't rush, but we rest in God's timing. I pray that as we move forward, we're no longer searching, God, what do I want? But we surrender and say, God, what do you want in this season of my life? May we stop trying to make it happen, that we start manipulating it all on our own. But now we give it to God and say, God, I'm trusting you with everything, not in my timing, but in yours. To God be the glory. See, I pray in this season, no matter where you find yourself, that you find your confidence. No matter what comes my way, God, I know you've called me to this season. I find my contentment. God, I don't need all of this. I'm tired of looking for everything. God, I'm content just where you're leading me right now. And may we be men and women of God that find our connection to Jesus, because without him, we're lost. Without him, we cannot do it on our own. And here's what God has put on my heart, and I pray I'm not embarrassing anybody, but I'm just trying to be obedient to the Spirit of God today. If you are someone in this room and you're single today, will you just stand up? Just do it. Don't look around. Don't think about it. If you're single today and you feel comfortable, I don't ever want to put anybody on the spot. Look around. Look around today. Some of you have been sitting here with such a fart face the whole time saying, this isn't a message for me. But look around, your church family, your brothers and sisters, this has been a message for them. And I'm not just talking to 18-year-olds like my daughter. You look around and there are men and women, lots of different backgrounds, lots of different ages that are dealing with some of the stuff that we've talked about. And can I remind you, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. You're not incomplete. You're not insufficient where you are right now. God has a perfect plan, a perfect destiny for your life. Some of y'all need to look around and who's single in this church? Look around, it's all right, I'll wait. Take it all in, take it all in. But today, if you would give me just a couple extra minutes, I'd love to pray over you. I'd love to pray over you that are in this season. And I pray today, I hope I haven't embarrassed you. I pray that I haven't said anything that has hurt your feelings. I'm just trying to be obedient to the Spirit and say, I love you, that this church has a place for you. And so if you feel comfortable, church family, would you mind just reaching out a hand of blessing over these incredible men and women? We're just gonna pray for them. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for the new thing that you're doing in this church, Lord Jesus. And we're not perfect, but each and every one of us are progressing. And Lord, I pray that my words would drop away, that your words would speak, that, Lord, you would be able to do what I can never do on my own. Lord, I pray blessing over every single person that's in this room, every single person that's in a season of singleness watching this down the road. Lord, that they would know that you've called them to something greater, that there is a calling over each and every one of their lives. Lord, I pray that they would submit to the process. Lord, I pray that they would draw closer to you than ever before. Lord, that you would remove the fears, the insecurities, the anxiety, that they would know that, God, you have a perfect plan for their life. And so, Lord, even this week, Lord, I pray that you would start to move things, start to speak to them, start to have a conversation, a deeper relationship with them than ever before, Lord. We pray over them. We believe, we profess the best is yet to come for every single one of them today. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we celebrate today what God is doing? Riverside, I love you. I love you so much. Get a name and number before you leave, and we'll see you next week.